Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Verse 28. Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that it answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that He answered discreetly, He said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that doth ask him any question. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. The Epistle of Romans, chapter 14. Verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and the joy in the Holy Ghost." Back to the portion that our brother read in chapter 3, Romans chapter 3. Verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no ways. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in verse 10. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation, and God may bless His own precious word. After hearing a message like that, I just wonder why some who have come into this meeting tonight can remain in their sin. And I believe that as the Lord Jesus Christ looked on that scribe who came to Him, some of you are in exactly the same place tonight, not far from the kingdom of God. There are many possibilities that we read of in the Scriptures. We think of one man in the Old Testament, and there's a man who fled for refuge to one of the cities of refuge. He was about to enter in. He was almost in. He was not far from being delivered. Yet for a brief moment, he couldn't distinguish between the voice of a friend and the voice of a foe. And we find Abner died, and was lamented over by King David. Died Abner as a fool died. Near, but not near enough. Hands not tied, nor feet in fetters. Free to act. And there King David lamented over him. Died Abner as a fool dieth. It's interesting to know how near this young man was. You find that just like some perhaps in the meeting tonight, he had a knowledge of the Word of God. He was very near to the kingdom of God in the things that he knew to be right. He was one that the Bible speaks of as a scribe. One who had to do with the very writings of the Word of God. And I doubt not that in our meeting tonight, there are those like our brothers and oneself who had a knowledge of God's precious Word. I know many tonight. I'm thinking of one in particular. And you find that young man's wife is saved. And he's still in his sin. And quite often, though she knows little compared to him of the Word of God, yet you find in her simplicity she received the Savior. And she was telling me that often he shows her things in the Bible. Oh, how near! The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Speaking the Holy Scriptures, this young man writing the Holy Scriptures. And yet, in the presence of the Lord, these words to ring into his soul, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Then you find this young man not far as morals is concerned. You find that one of the things he knew about God and the things of God, that God required reality, that it was something that was beyond just mere religious duties. He knew that God required more than just mere sacrifices. God demanded reality. You know, when you come down to getting saved or facing God, as we have heard, and rejecting God, friend, you're down to reality. And the real thing is this, that it's face to face with God, as we've been hearing. Either prepared to meet God in time, or you'll meet God in eternity. It's a reality, friend. It's not a matter of head knowledge. It's not a matter of religious duty or religious rites. The reality of it, friend, the reality of meeting God, the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. And furthermore, we find that this young man was near the kingdom, not far from the kingdom, as far as intentions were concerned. He listened to the Savior himself. He listened to him as he spake with those men gathered around him. And although there's things recorded here, nevertheless, he heard the gracious words of the Savior himself. He was able to distinguish between hypocrisy and reality. And yet in spite of that, the Lord said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. We have read other scriptures because I have found out today, like many of my brethren out preaching the gospel, that there are many people and the devil has blinded their eyes with religion. I want you to notice that in 2 Corinthians 4, he's the God of this world. He's the head of its religion. And he has blinded the eyes of those who believe not. And some you find that they're inoculated with enough religion that they reject the real thing. And so the Spirit of God would tell us what the kingdom of God is not. My friend, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not abstaining from things or taking things. It's not got to do with these religious duties, irrespective of how good they might be. It's not got to do with whether you have one kind of meat on a Friday or another. My dear friend, God says there are things that the kingdom of God is not. And there are things that salvation is not. And salvation is not some little rite that has been performed on a baby. And I think I know what I'm speaking about in the land that I come from. Because you find by a religious rite of a hell-deserving sinner taking the place of a man of God. Some water upon the head of a baby makes it an inheritor of the kingdom of God. My friend, the Bible says it's not water, it's not meat, it's not drink. The kingdom of God, friend, is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom today is spoken of to your soul and heart. As seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's the priority of life. The words of the Savior declare. It's coming in under the power and the rule of God. It's letting God into your life to rule. We find tonight that the Bible clearly shows us in Romans chapter 3 that there is none righteous. My dear friend, remember when we read this, there's none righteous. It means that you have no relationship to God tonight. We are reminded on this platform that righteousness is just a little word, that which is right. And you're not right in the sight of God tonight. And remember, the Spirit of God not only speaks about a guilty world here, but He speaks about everyone in it. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none, He says, that understandeth. My Calvary and the virgin birth. It's darkness to the intellect. You take the mightiest names in the world tonight, and these things of God and the kingdom of God, even take the great religious men out of the scriptures, John's Gospel chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus spoke about you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. There stood a man, and I believe he represented the best of religion. And you find the man was utterly ignorant and disqualified because of his birth and because of the darkness of his intellect. He didn't know how these things would be. Friend, there he stands as a representative, a man that the scriptures speak of as the teacher of Israel. And it was true of him, there's none that understandeth. It was darkness to his intellect. And then there's none that seeketh after God, friend. There's no such a thing as a sinner in fellowship with God. That fellowship has been broken by sin. You're adrift from God. There's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. And if God didn't seek us, we would go on our way down to hell. Then the Word says this, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And I'm sure my brethren and sisters in Christ who speak to others about their souls. Later than Friday night, coming down in the plane, speaking to two men, and both of them were almost the same. One began to tell me about the good things that he did. Oh, listen, friend, to what God said. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. No, not one. All those practices, all those pious platitudes, all the so-called principles of your life, friend, God must declare that you're unrighteous, that you're ignorant, that you have a broken fellowship with God, and that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's none righteous. My friend, you know where that brings you? That brings you right into the court of God. Why, we were hearing about that last night. Drop your eyes down there to verse 19, and this is what it says. Now we know that all things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. My friend, you're not in the kingdom of God irrespective of all the righteousness and all the religions of the world combined and all the rites of all the religions that might have been performed upon you. God declares you tonight as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Guilty in the court of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, and you haven't got it. God says there's none righteous, no, not one. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, which you haven't got, and peace, which you know nothing about, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that is not your portion tonight. And if unrighteousness is proved beyond the shadow of doubt and brings you into God's court tonight, God says it, it's God's assessment, it's not the preacher's. It's what God says that counts. God Himself brings you in, and you stand with the world before a holy God. God, His verdict tonight is guilty. A shut mouth and guilty. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. And just previous to that, the verse coming in at the end of chapter 4 reads, verse 20, for, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe in Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Thank God for Calvary. Sinner friend, that's where you must get. The gift of Christ at the place called Calvary. For the dead Christ could never save us. You find there needed to be the glorious resurrection. Thank God tonight we don't preach a dead Christ, but we preach one that has risen again from the dead. Read what God Himself declares to you. Says here in verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses. A friend there was stoned, guilty, for a holy God, and the offenses that we're guilty of have been laid upon the Son of God's love. Oh, why was He there, the bearer of sin, if on Jesus my sins were not laid? But God says here that He was delivered for our offenses. And friend, God loves man so much that He delivered him up, His own Son, for our offenses. Oh, as we look at Calvary tonight, as our brother sends us to look again at that lovely man, fairest of all the earth beside, keepest of all unto thy bride, fullest divine in thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. My friend tonight, thank God for that lovely man that hung on Calvary's cross for our offenses. Oh friend, bow tonight before God, like those two men that went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, he paraded all his righteousness. In his own words, it says he prayed with himself. That poor guilty sinner, he smote on his breast. He says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Friend, because the sinless Savior died, my guilty soul is counted free. He was delivered for our offenses. Oh, can you not take your place at Calvary tonight? Will the Apostle Paul make it ever so personal? He says, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, make it personal tonight. Look to Calvary. Think back over your life. Some of you are young. Some of you might be old tonight. And think of a life that has been wasted. Offenses that have been committed against a holy God. And friend, I want to warn you that the gospel doesn't only offer you salvation tonight, but the Apostle Paul says that God hath appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man which he hath ordained. Oh, friend, the same gospel, the same Christ of Calvary, who can save you tonight? There's one day, if you don't meet God, as we have been reminded by the Spirit, prepare to meet God. If you don't meet God in grace and bow low at the cross as a guilty sinner and just tell God, thanks for delivering thy Son for my offenses, friend, if you don't do it, you'll bow. We're hearing about that today. We heard it early in the morning. Things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. Friend, let us warn you tonight. There's a day coming when God is going to make that voice of yours and that knee of yours bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. For God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, of things in heaven and things on earth and things on the earth. Listen, you'll either bow your knee in grace or you'll bow it in government. You'll either bow it on earth in time and make heaven as your eternal destiny, or, friend, you'll bow it in hell. Did you remember this? You'll bow it. And you'll confess. Because remember this. Some mysterious way in the gospel, God gets glory either if you're saved. Or remember, I read in 2 Corinthians 2, glory if you're saved. Friend, you know, I would warn you tonight, get to Christ. It's your own soul that you're dealing with. It's reality tonight. It's heaven or hell for eternity. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. You know what that means? It's almost impossible to accept it. Justified. Raised again for our justification. You know, that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ brings assurance to my soul that because he rose again from the dead, you find that God has been well pleased and he has raised them from the dead. And notice what it says. He raised again for our justification. Friend, you know it's marvelous. It really is. It's one of the greatest joys. We were talking to some today about when they got saved. My, the greatest joy when you get saved. I remember it dawned in my soul that my sins have been dealt with and they were all put away. And you know, justified means that you can just look up into the face of God and there's not a charge against you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace, my friend, experience.
My, wouldn't it be a lovely thing tonight if you would bow your knee, if you would come and meet God. Prepare tonight and meet God. And to go out that door with absolute serenity. Absolute peace. For the first time in your experience, able to go home, put your head in the pillow, and know that you've got peace with God. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. And that's what we get here. And you know, my joy, my peace. The hymnwriter said when he looked at the cross, he says, the tomb, he says, and yonder is my peace. Speaking to a brother in Ireland, and he went away out to Palestine. He went away on one of these trips, and he said, you know, he had a great emotional experience when he came out of that tomb where the Lord's supposed to have led. And he said, I just thought, he's not here, he's risen. I said, it was a terrible waste of time, wasn't it? Waste of money. My dear friend, that means absolutely nothing to fear. May stir the emotions! It's the word of God! If I could never find a tomb, it wouldn't interest me. God says it, and I believe it. And I go to the tomb, and there is my peace, and yonder is my peace. The grave with all its woes. I know that Jesus died and that Jesus arose. You ever get into that peace? There it is. A peace to be possessed. A peace to be experienced. And then, friend, listen. Here we find that the Word of God again directs us, chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, where does that take me, friend? Takes you right up tonight to where God wants to deal with you. And that's in that mind of yours. Colossians chapter 1 says, we're enemies in our minds by wicked works. Do you know that takes us to the conflict that's going on between you and God? Some of you are young tonight. And you know, if your father or mother tell you to do something, you get to bed, up you go. But you know, there's something they can't do, and that's tell you to get saved. Do you ever think of that? You know why? Because whether you're young or whether you're old, you're an enemy of God. And you say, I don't mean to be an enemy, but that's what God says. You're an enemy of God by wicked works. Now we find here what God said. And if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. But the devil told you that you couldn't keep it. That's what he told me the night I was saved. And you know, he almost had me believing it. But you know, I ventured out and see it. I think I would have done anything that night to be saved and you was lost. And here I find that the one who died to save me from my sins is the one that lives. The resurrected Christ at God's right hand. His life. We're saved by His life. He's the preserver. He's the keeper. You don't do the keeping. It's a living Christ in glory that does the keeping. And what does that bring? Notice what the Bible tells us. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in God. My friend, that's the Christian's joy. Some of you young believers, you think that that's the joy of the world? That's passing, a transient thing. But here you find the kingdom of God is a righteousness. that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in the Lord Jesus, He is my righteousness. He is my peace. And He tonight is my joy. Where are you tonight? Jesus, looking upon him, he said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And are you going to remain there? Die in your sin? Or are you going to do what God himself has asked you to do at the meeting's commencement? Prepare to meet thy God. Oh, we give you that invitation tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Godhead, interested in your soul. God in Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Do you think you're too bad? Well, listen, friend, it's the crimson sinner that God tonight's inviting. He says, "Come." And the Son of God is crying to you tonight. He's giving you that lovely, glorious invitation in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's willing to remove that burden of sin and give you that rest that you've never known. It's a rest, my friend, of forgiveness of sin. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Come tonight. Bow low to the foot of Calvary. Like that dear man on the cross of Calvary. The words, "Lord, remember me." Oh, come, sinner, come. 'Tis mercy's call. Hear. At Jesus' feet shall we pray. O God, our Father, how we thank Thee for Thy love and grace and mercy that Thou hast manifested to us through Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee tonight, our Father, for the glorious gospel message. To the whosoever will, Thy word, our Father, that has been preached tonight and has warmed our hearts afresh as we have gazed again at Calvary and seen there one bleeding and dying, given all His love and grace. 'Twas love that nailed him to the tree, or iron chains ne'er bound him. We thank Thee, our Father, we've been at the grave, and we find that it's vacant. He is not here, He is risen. We lift our eyes, O God, tonight to the throne, and there we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. O Father, lead some precious soul tonight to bow the knee to Jesus and confess Him as their Savior and Lord, and the glory and praise will all be Thine, for our God our joy will know no bounds. We ask these things and thank Thee, our Father, for all Thy mercies and goodness to us throughout this conference season. O God, we pray, crown it with Thy blessing and the salvation of precious souls. In Jesus' name, amen.